former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonantoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Week 5 of the NFL already underway out there from London. Jags on the board early with an 8-0 lead over the Buffalo Bills. Alongside former NFL executive Michael Lombardi out at his office in Jersey, I'm Stormy Bonantoni, live from Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas. The sportsbook behind me surely going to be filling up here this morning as we get set for a full slate of games. We will cover each and every one of them over the course of the next 2 hours. Hello, Michael. Welcome in. We got a big lead here for Jacksonville.
I'm so happy to have you. Welcome on a Sunday.
Thank you.
I mean, you know, that we should have some tea and crimpets just because you're here. I mean, let's do it.
Absolutely.
I mean,
I'm ready.
Good to have you. I appreciate the fight for the travel. Thank you for joining us. It's wonderful. I mean, it don't get any better than this. It does not get any better than this. We got football all day. But when that cart comes out, and I got to start the show on a sad note, if that's Matt Milano we saw be coming off the field for Buffalo, that is a huge, not a slight, that's a huge injury for the Bills' chances defensively now. They've lost White, and Milano was last week, Stormy, played at a level that was Pro Bowl level. Clearly, he dominated that game. He was all over the field. I hope it's not as bad to get that card out, but it's kind of a sad way to start this Sunday for Buffalo Bill fans as they trail 8-0.
Yeah, already, Michael, officially listed out for the remainder of the game. He got rolled up on at the bottom of a pile of players. Oh. It certainly didn't look good. He struggled to put any weight on it as he was getting off of the field. So, yeah, unfortunate start, certainly, for Buffalo, one of their best defensive players. On the bright side, at least they did get Von Miller back into the fold this week. But obviously, for that defense that's been playing so well at such a high level, he's a key cog in what they're trying to do. Again, it is Jacksonville with an 8-9. Nothing lead. Welcome back, Zay Jones, who had a remarkable catch in the back of the end zone from our guy Trevor Lawrence. And then they decide to go for two early. What do you think about the aggressive start from Jacksonville?
Well, they got it because of the penalty, right? We saw Ed Oliver rough the quarterback, which then moved the ball. And anytime they do that, I think the analytics say go for two at this point. And so they did, and they got it. And look, They are moving the ball. You can see Lawrence. These are the kind of moments where you say to yourself, that's why Lawrence was the first pick overall in the draft. That's what we saw at Clemson. And then there's some moments where we say, did we miss it with Lawrence? Are we sure we're right about Lawrence? You know, today's one of those days where, yeah, I told you Lawrence was good. I told you he was good, you know, because in this first quarter, he looks exceptional. If they don't turn the heat up on him a little bit, they're going to go. They've had 2-3 and outs on their offense. They've had been unable to convert third and very short 2 plays in a row. That's unlike the Bills' offense. So here's a situation where I think, does Buffalo start to panic a little bit, right? Because when this has happened in the past, Buffalo has panicked, right? And then Josh Allen has panicked, and he's gotten away from doing what he typically has done the last 3 weeks, which is play point guard. He wants to take the game over. So this is a big series for the Jaguars. The Bills have got to get off the field here. And it's a really big series the next time. When Ken Dorsey calls the first play of the next drive, it's got to be a first down. It's got to be a drive starter. I think that's going to be critical.
Got to move the chains as Trevor Lawrence has a little run up the middle there. He is 4 of 5 passing, 61 yards and 1 touchdown. As far as where the line sits right now, Buffalo came into this game 5.5-point favorite. Now it's Jacksonville 2.5-point favorite on the live line. So if you think that Buffalo can get back into this game, an opportunity to get some plus points in this spot, total live 50.5 right now. And again, this is a game that we will keep tabs on throughout the course of the show. But a good start for Jacksonville and trying to continue to pad the points with Buffalo a little bit shorthanded and struggling to move the ball. Now, Michael, throughout, this is one of the most bet games of the entire day. And granted, people had to get those wagers in before the early start, a 6:30 Pacific time start for me out here on the West Coast. But other games that have very high handles to this point, and we anticipate more of that money coming in before these things kick off. Giants, Dolphins, Cowboys, Niners, Panthers, Lions, Chiefs, Vikings, and so much of those, we talk about the money coming in and where it's going. On the Miami Dolphins, we have seen that number just go up and away, sitting 12.5 right now with Miami hosting New York today.
You know, Stormy, I've been doing this for a long time, and I don't know if I've ever gone this close to kickoff where a team has 4% of the handle. No one's betting the Giants. Now, here's what's fascinating about this game. When it opened, I thought it was too light, and it moved quickly, right? It moved quickly after the Monday night game. It was too light before the Monday night game, but it moved quicker after what Seattle did to the Giants. And then it kept moving, and all the money has been all over the Giants. It has, all over the Dolphins. And it has stuck at 12.5. So I look next week, they play Buffalo, the Giants, in Buffalo. That line right now sits at 13. Now, I know Buffalo beat Miami last week, but to me, situations dictate this. There are 13, there are 12.5. I thought for sure this line was going to get to 13 by Sunday. I'm surprised it's not there.
Well, and there is, I will say, there is one, at least I see right now, at the South Point. There's a 13 there. We'll keep our eyes out as we get closer to kickoff if there gets any more. But the similar situation there with the Panthers and Lions game, Carolina getting absolutely no love. It's been one-way traffic on the Detroit Lions, and that's despite no Amon-Ra St. Brown, no Jahmyr Gibbs. They do offset that a little bit, getting Jamison Williams back into the fold today, but you anticipate that's going to be a little bit slow starting. He's rusty, hasn't played in a while, coming back from the gambling suspension and missing time last year as well.
But this line hit 10, and now it went back to 9.5, and I've seen some, and there's some nines out there. There's some nines out there that you can get. So the money has kind of moved back. I mean, this line opened at 7.5, it went to 10, and it's moved around. So there is at least volatility on both sides of this line. Whereas that Giant line, you can't give away the Giants. Nobody's taking them. You know, the other line that I think is fascinating is tonight's game, Stormy. San Francisco, mm-hmm. Your team, 3.5. 20% of the money that I see is just coming in on Dallas, yet that line could move to 3. If you like the Cowboys today, you better grab the 3.5. If you like the Niners, wait, it could get to 3. This is one of those where, you know, here we are, 10 o'clock, 10:15 on East Coast time, 7:15 out there. This line, all indications seem like it's going to 3. You might just want to wait a little bit.
Yeah, we'll discuss this game more in depth in a moment. But if it gets to 3, your girl is jumping on San Francisco in that spot. That hook has been stuck for a while, but we'll see how things move here. The Dolphins and Lions, by the way, the two most picked in Survivor today for Circa Survivor, rightfully so. Followed by the Bills, a good chunk of folks on Buffalo today. So feeling a little bit of the pressure already early with this game in London. The Commanders, a team that, I mean, obviously this week already knocked out 412 people, the Ravens and Bengals the next two. A game that surprised me for the circa million selections, Michael, Falcons getting a lot of love.
I like the Falcons today. I picked them on McAfee. I like them. And here's why I like them. I like them because I think they can run the ball. And I think when you go back and watch the game, when you go back and watch San Francisco, your team, they played Atlanta in Atlanta last year. You know, they ran the football effectively on San Francisco. Now, I know San Francisco was hurt, had some missing players. They forced some turnovers on Garoppolo in the game. So for me, I think Arthur Smith understands how to attack the scheme. And I think he'll be able to run the ball. And if he can run the ball, I think to me that'll give them a chance to win this. And Ridder is a much better player. Not that he's a great player, but he's better at home than he is on the road. There's no question. He's never lost a road game and never lost a home game in his career, collegiate and in the NFL. So I think they'll play. I mean, this is everybody's worried about coming back from Buffalo. Do they have coming back from London? Do they have enough legs? You know, I think to me, this is their moment. They were embarrassed last week, and I think they've got to take a giant step forward. So I kind of do. I think it's the line. I think there's a little bit of an overvalue to Houston. I mean, let's face it, C.J. Stroud has played great. There's no mm-hmm. question. He hadn't thrown an interception. That's not going to last. Like, that's not going to last. Things are going to happen, you know, and so – you know, quarterbacks, I mean, the guys that have done it are Breeze, Brady, Mahomes, Peyton, and now C.J. Stroud have thrown at least 150 attempts without an interception. That's fairly impressive.
And to your point about Desmond Ridder and the success he's had at home, 30-0 is what that number is, dating back to his time at Cincinnati. Four of those wins coming in the NFL, including two to start this season, the first 2 weeks. As far as some just notable players, and we'll get into, again, each of these games individually, but players I want to make sure the folks at home are aware of being active today. Jonathan Taylor, after getting the new contract, he is going to be back on the field for Indianapolis. We see Cooper Kupp back for the Los Angeles Rams. Kenny Pickett, despite the knee injury that kicked him out in the third quarter of last week's loss, he will be back starting today. Jimmy Garoppolo back from the concussion as well for the Vegas Raiders. And as I already mentioned, Jameson Williams back from the gambling suspension. Michael, last minute here of this block, what do you make of all of the quarterbacks toughing it out and playing through injuries this week? Kenny Pickett, who I mentioned there, but Joe Burrow, Matthew Stafford, I feel like the list goes on. Derek Carr.
Yeah, I mean, I think Carr shouldn't play last week. Stafford gutted it out. I mean, Stafford's been sensational. Now, the problem in that Ram game, we'll talk about it later, who's playing left tackle? Yeah. Noteboom's already been ruled out. Jackson didn't practice all week. So who's playing left tackle? That could be huge against an Eagle rush team that needs to get going. You know, so Garoppolo was in the concussion protocol. I think they thought Garoppolo had a chance last week to make it. He couldn't pass the concussion protocol test. But, you know, I think when you're in this quarterback situation, you know, you want to help your team, especially week five of the season. I think the quarterbacks do. The Pickett one, if he can't move, I think Pickett's going to be on a quick hook today. Yeah. If he doesn't move well early, I could see him going to Trubisky.
And with the bye coming up next week, it caught me a little bit off guard that a quarterback who's already been struggling this season, now gimpy on a knee. When you have a bye next week, I didn't see it necessary, but we'll discuss it again a little bit more. We got 49ers Cowboys next.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today and get a daily email recapping all the best bets from our show hosts and guests. You'll also get unlimited access to the VSiN.com/picks page. Sort picks by sport, matchup, event date, and more. You can check the top VSiN experts leaderboard as well to view betting records, profit, and ROI, and see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. For VSiN Pro picks, betting splits, power ratings, plus 24/7 video access, come join us. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. You can sign up for just $19 for your first month at VSiN.com/subscribe. Thanks for hanging out with us on a Sunday edition of the Lombardi Line, getting teed up for all of the Week 5 NFL action. One game already in action right now out there in London. We saw the Jags add a field goal to their point total right now. 11-0 lead against Buffalo, scoring points on two of their first three offensive drives. Buffalo at least moving the chains for the first time this drive, but Jacksonville on the live line, a 3.5-point favorite, total 49.5, and we'll continue to keep you updated on all things London as we go on. But let's start going through each and every one of these games, Michael, and we'll start with my team because I'm selfish and I just want to talk about one of it's the biggest game of the weekend, in my opinion. The San Francisco 49ers taking on the Dallas Cowboys later on tonight, Sunday Night Football. San Francisco, we already talked about it a little bit earlier, 3.5-point favorite at home in Santa Clara. This is two of the top five Super Bowl favorites going head to head. Michael, giving us all the 80s and 90s nostalgia with these two teams back on top. What do you make of it?
Well, I think this is a game where we're not sure how good both teams are, right?
Yeah.
Because let's face it, the level of competition, the Rams gave the 49ers a tough game for three quarters. They end up winning by 7. But other than that, they were pretty much in control of all the other games. Same thing with Dallas. They had control of all the games except for the one they lose. They've only given up 7 points in the second half. And both teams subscribe to the theory, play less defense. Both teams control the ball with their offense. And I don't think people realize how good Dallas has been in terms of controlling the ball. They're one of the best teams on third down, 51.6% on third down. So you can't get the ball away from them. And they control the pace of the game. This is why Mike McCarthy wanted to be the offensive coordinator. He wanted to change the pace of the game and control it. Look, we can all talk about McCarthy, and, you know, McCarthy gets killed by a lot of people in the betting community and all around, and is not a great coach. In the month of September, he's 68-47-3 against the spread. September and October, he's the second best coach in the NFL the last 20 years in that area. And he's done it again this year. He's been very good. And it looks to me like from both teams, I think both teams can move the ball on their defenses. I think everybody thinks it's going to be a 13-10 game. I don't. I think you can run the ball on San Francisco. I think you can run the ball a little bit on Dallas. We saw that with the Cardinals did it. And I think this is a game where it's coming down to, it'll be a close game. Waiting for the three, I think, is the right thing, depending on the side you're on. But again, it comes down to the area no one talks about, special teams. You know, Wisniewski is one of the best kickers inside the 20. And if he makes you play on a long field, you might be able to move the ball a little bit on Dallas. It's hard to move it all the way up and down the field. This is Dallas's offensive line will be healthy. I think it's a great game, but I think it's going to be a little higher scoring than most people think.
So does that mean you might lean over that 45 number? I think it's a well-placed number, to be honest. So I don't have a play on the total. I understand the public sentiment of this being an under game because of what we saw last year in the playoffs, right? A 19-12 final in the divisional round. Dak Prescott had two ugly interceptions that game. I think that's something that'll be interesting to keep an eye on. Dak Prescott's done a good job taking care of the ball to this point in the early season for the most part, but how will he fare against the San Francisco defense that's kind of had his number in certain instances? I feel like Dallas is going to be really hungry for this one, because this is a team in the 49ers that has cut their Super Bowl aspiration short each of the last 2 years. And we know the 49ers are good at home. You mentioned all those numbers with Mike McCarthy in terms of ATS, but San Francisco covered 9 straight at Levi Stadium. Yep. It's the longest current home win streak in the NFL. They've got a 14-game regular season win streak going right now. They've got a different juju, and a lot of those offensive weapons that San Francisco has, I feel like, are feeling themselves a little bit. Brock Purdy with just one incompletion last week. Christian McCaffrey, 4 total touchdowns. Brandon Ayuk, I feel like every game you're seeing him grow and develop as a wideout. So it'll be a fun game. I'm really, really looking forward to Sunday night.
And I think the Diggs injury is makes me lean to San Francisco here, because one thing when you play the 49ers, they have 5 guys that get out in the route. And all their top receivers in terms of who leads the team in receptions to the fourth are all their skill players. I mean, they get the ball to everybody. Everybody has at least 14 catches, whether it's Kittle, Ayuk, you know, McCaffrey, or Debo. And so they're a challenge. They're a challenge for the team, and they'll find the matchup, and Kyle will find the matchup. That's where they're so good. I mean, look, they average 6.3 yards per play. They only give up 4.5, and they control the ball for 33 minutes a game. So, you know, what's fascinating is they, you know, even though they control the ball 33 minutes a game, their play count, Stormy, is only 252 to 251. The opponents are getting the ball. They've had 251 plays against them. The Niners have 252. What does that tell us? It tells us they score. Mm-hmm. They get the ball in that, you know, they score with less. They don't just waste the time. They just don't keep it. They score, which is why they're playing from in front all the time. You know, they've allowed 40 points in the first half. They've scored 75. In 4 games, they're going in with a 35-point advantage at halftime. I mean, that's significant in 4 games. If that transcends itself over the course of the season, that's a lock to get you as the top first-half point differential team in the league.
Let's move along to Titans in Indy taking on the Colts. Titans a 2.5-point favorite. First time they've been favored this season, total 43.5. But the big headline here, of course, the NFL soap opera that has starred a scorned Jonathan Taylor is over now. Saturday, JT and the Colts coming to terms to a 3-year, $42 million extension. He's officially been activated. He's got a little pep in his step, although he's not going to start. Still Zach Moss taking the bulk of the snaps. What's your expectation for what we're going to see with JT easing his way in?
Well, I think he'll play at least 25 plays. Look, they've been able to run the football somewhat effectively, right? They've been able to do that. And they've been able to make big plays. I mean, when you look at what Anthony Richardson has done, he throws the ball down the field. I think he leads the league in air yards targets down the field. Last week, he was over 12 yards, which is really, you know, unbelievable how he's been able to do that. And by having a big play guy in the backfield like Taylor, you know, now all of a sudden you're in this 6-back offense in the purest form, right? In the purest form, because you're going to have to defend Taylor. And when he holds that ball on RPOs and he's not sure, you're going to have to play this team inside out. You're going to have to hold up on the inside. Now, today, I don't think it's going to matter. I don't think it matters today because, let's face it, you can't. Tennessee's a hard team to run the ball on. You got to throw the ball in Tennessee. You got to make explosive plays down the field. You got to block their front, and you got to get it down the field. This game flipped from where Colts were favorite to now they're two and a half point underdogs. You know, and when you look at the numbers, there's no better coach in the league than Mike Vrabel as a dog, right? He's so good as a dog. And when now that he's the favorite, it shifts a little bit. Vrabel, like a lot of good coaches, is really good in September and October. He's 36-24 straight up in that area. He's 19-11, you know, straight up against these teams, and he's on a five-game win streak against the Colts. So this is a huge game for the Colts. You know, a huge game. And I think being the dog helps them, and getting Taylor back gets them a lift. Look, as for the Taylor Stormy, I think here's what happened. Both needed each other. Taylor wasn't getting $17 million out there in the open market. His agent finally had a dose of reality. Taylor saw it. And the Colts need him. They don't have enough skilled players around Richardson. They needed one more good player like this. And I think it benefits both parties.
Yeah, I'm with you. And it makes a little bit more sense now why, looking back at his press conference earlier this week, he was all smiles, and some of the questions that the reporters were trying to ask him to get that sound bite weren't happening. He knew that this was in the works, and congrats to him and the team that they're going to get him for the next few years at a dollar amount he feels comfortable. And to your point about the Titans and Vrabel, the win streak against the Colts in this spot, 5-0 straight up and ATS those last five meetings. So not only winning, but covering those games from the Titans' perspective.
But I think this game here goes back to Tennessee, Philly last year. Steichen knows you can't run the ball on him. I mean, last year against Philly, he had 24 carries for 67 yards against the Titans. 24 carries, 67 yards. The Philadelphia Eagles, their powerful running game, they threw for 453. I mean, they ended up with 386. They had 453 yards of offense. He threw it 41 times. He caught 41 passes in a game. He knows he's got to throw the ball. I think that familiarity with the Titans' defensive scheme, I know they change coordinators, but they really haven't changed what they do. I think it really benefits the Colts today. And I think it'll get them an opportunity to make some explosive plays down the field.
Again, Tennessee, a 2.5 point favorite in Indy, that total 43.5. We're going to step aside here real quickly, but we're going to continue to cruise along throughout this NFL Week 5 slate. When we return here on the Lombardi Line, we're going to hit Ravens, Steelers, Saints, Patriots, Lamar Jackson, pretty darn good ATS in his career on the road. Hasn't had a lot of games against the Steelers since he's become a starter in the NFL. We'll break it all down when we return.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Basketball season's ready to tip off, and the VSiN experts have been hard at work tracking the latest player moves to help you bet smarter. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today and get our all-new NBA betting guide. It features up-to-date previews on all 30 teams, futures and year-long player props, best bets on player awards like Rookie of the Year, live betting strategies, plus strategy and advice on building your own NBA betting model from senior NBA analyst Jonathan Von Tobel, the John Von Model, if you will. Give yourself an edge this season. Get the VSiN NBA betting guide by becoming a VSiN Pro subscriber today. You can do so at VSiN.com/subscribe. Still 11-0 out there in London, the Jags with the early advantage, and it looks like they're probably going to continue building on it with the way that this Bills defense is struggling without Matt Milano. For anybody who missed it at the start of the show, Matt Milano, star linebacker for the Bills, had to be carted off the field, got his leg rolled up on in a pile, and reporter Jamie Erdahl on the broadcast said he had a full cast on his leg from shin to thigh, indicative of a potential major injury, Michael.
Yeah, it's horrible. Look, the guy was playing at a Pro Bowl level, and they need him. I mean, the way they play defense, what people don't understand is they play safeties as linebackers. Milano was a safety at Boston College, so they play safeties in the box, but they're good enough to hold up in the run. And Milano is instinctive, he's around the ball, and he's a great tackler. He is a great tackler. When you watch that Miami tape, they didn't miss many tackles. They did not. Today already they're missing tackles because they just don't have the same guys to be able to handle it. So this is one of those where, you know, it's an injury that if you wrote down all the injuries Buffalo couldn't afford, Josh Allen's one, Milano's two. It's that good. He's that good. And unfortunately, you know, that's going to hurt them. And they're going to have to figure it out. And it's just going to be a difficult one to overcome because you just don't have another guy. They put Dorian Williams, their third round pick, on the field, number 42. But he's a young player. I mean, Bernard's another kid who plays really well. He has played really well. But Milano is the guy that makes everything kind of go because they only play two linebackers, right? They only are in, they're in nickel the entire game. And so you got to hold up inside. Most people want to push you around and run the ball. But Daquan Jones and Milano have been the two biggest play additions, not additions, but the stars of this defense after 4 weeks.
And Jones dealing with a pec injury in this spot, and then no Tre'Davious White on the back end as well, just adding insult to literal injury in this spot for the Buffalo Bills defense. They were a 5.5-point favorite to start things off. Now a 5.5-point dog on the live line, live total, 45.5. Jacksonville with 10 first downs to Buffalo's 167 total yards to the Bills 35. Let's take a look at a battle in the AFC North coming up today. The Ravens, a 4.5-point favorite at the Pittsburgh Steelers. So Steelers, a divisional home dog in this spot, Michael, and the underdog has covered 11 straight in this matchup. These games we know are always close between these two.
Yeah. I mean, and look, Baltimore's finally getting healthy. They'll have Ronnie Stanley. Linderbaum will play, right? They may get some of their receivers back. As of last, you know, there was talk that they could get, you know, Odell Beckham back. Rashard Bateman practiced this week, you know, with ankle. His hamstring appears to be better. So
Marlon Humphrey, Marcus Williams, a lot of bodies back.
Right. And Freiermuth, who's a big key to a bad Pittsburgh offense, he's out with a hamstring. So this is going to be a challenge for Pittsburgh. And with the limitations that they have offensively, their inability to run the football, their inability to make plays in the passing game, if you're playing this one and you're recommending it like I am, you know, you're basically saying Tomlin as an underdog is 22-5-3. You're just saying there's somehow, some way they're going to find a way to win this game, keep it close, because they all, these games are always close. I mean, last year, Huntley goes in there and it's a three and they win. They beat them. I mean, remember, this is the game where Pickett gets hurt and then my man comes in off the bench, Mitchell Trubisky, and he's moving the football for him, three red zone interceptions. Yeah. So these games, no matter, I mean, they're one of those, don't watch it, but you just know it's going to be a close game.
Yeah, and interesting that you point out that one game specifically. Looking into the recent history, since Lamar Jackson's been in the league, he's only actually started 3 of the 8 meetings with Pittsburgh. I didn't realize that. He's missed each of the last 3. So it'll be different for him to be back in the fold here. I do have concerns, though, for the Steelers when it comes to Kenny Pickett dealing with that knee injury, Michael. I said it off the top of the show. I'm surprised, given the fact that they have a bye week coming, that they would want to put him in a spot where he has already struggled this year. When you look at his 29 QBR to start the season, that ranks 29th of all quarterbacks in the NFL that qualify at this point. And now he's got a knee injury, and you're thinking that after Mike Tomlin just said absolutely changes need to happen, that's your first step? I don't know. It seemed a little off to me.
Yeah. I'm not sure either, Stormy. I'm not sure either. I think to me, you know, I don't get it. I don't understand why you're rushing. You know, he's coming into play, especially if you have confidence. You just signed Trubisky to an extension as the backup. And as bad as they looked offensively, and they, you know, you couldn't look any worse than they did. Houston, for all the superlatives they deserve, let Pittsburgh stay in that game. They were able to stay in that game, and they couldn't do it. They couldn't do it. You know, now Buffalo, I hate to interrupt, Buffalo's going to have to punt again. This
Classic.
Is a game when you're watching this here, where Buffalo is playing 2 speeds lower than Jacksonville. Buffalo just can't get going. I mean, they're punting again. And this is against a Jacksonville team that we know you can move the football. Now, they held the Chiefs down, too. They lost that game, but they held the Chiefs down. But they're playing at a high, high level. They look like the rested team. Buffalo looks like the exhausted team.
Well, and maybe this
going
is...
Going back to Pittsburgh.
Michael, just real quickly, I would just say, as it pertains to the Jacksonville game, maybe this is where having your second week out there in London, being acclimated, where that element pays off to your game as well. Like, I know that was a big talking point coming in and how that might be with the Bills having to travel. And I'm somebody that always says the NFL's got all of these different capabilities. It shouldn't be a problem. Maybe it is a little bit. And then you throw some injuries in there. Not so easy.
And then you throw the Milano in there. You know, Milano, the travel, the Milano injury, you know, they get in the lift, you know. And so, and then, you know, it's always hard after a big win to get your team to focus and concentrate. The maturity level of your team, it's very challenging. And I think that's why a lot of people were on Jacksonville and taking the five. I think there was expecting to be a little bit of a letdown from Buffalo.
Just final thoughts on this Ravens-Steelers game before we move on to the next one.
I think it's one of those games where on paper, Baltimore should win this game. And I can easily see why people are taking the 4.5. But there is a Tomlin factor. Look, here's what I will say about Pittsburgh's defense last week. They look slow. That trip, the coming back from Las Vegas, the delay of the plane, all that, and then going down there, they did not look like the crisp defense that we've seen before. I expect them to play better defensively today. I really do. I think, to me, they've got to take it up a gear like they did against Cleveland. You know, they beat Cleveland at home. They're not a better team than Cleveland. They beat Cleveland at home. They made a big play in the passing game, and they scored with their defense. They're going to have to do that again today.
We got another injured quarterback in the New Orleans Saints, Derek Carr, playing through that sprained AC joint. Looked bad last week, but Mac Jones is healthy and didn't look a whole lot better as the Patriots are 1-point favorite in this game. Total 39.5.
Well, I mean, look, Carr was throwing checkdowns like it was his job, you know, and I don't know if you could ever have a stat line like he had, or Kamara with his 13 catches averaging under 3 yards a catch. I mean, I've never seen that before last week. Tampa did a great job of tackling. Look, New England's, everybody's talking about Judon being out. I mean, Kenyon White is really a good player for New England. New England will be able to rush the passer. They're going to miss Judon. He's a really good player, but they have guys there. The injury they couldn't sustain was Gonzalez, which is why they brought J.C. Jackson back, you know. And for the Patriots, they're behind 29-6 in the first quarter this year. They get behind so quickly, and they have no ability to catch up. And their passing game, their run game, nobody wants to listen to this, but their run game this year, under the direction of Bill O'Brien and the offensive staff, is way worse than it was with Matt Patricia. Way worse. Way worse. Mm-hmm. And they can't get a running game going. And because they can't get a running game going, and because they get behind so quickly in a game, they're not playing well. And that's why when Mac Jones is an underdog, he ranks 268th out of 271 quarterbacks as an underdog quarterback. The only one who's worse is Fields. You know. And so when this line flipped and you want Jones as the underdog, it's not. It helps you. So this is going to be a hard game for New England because this defense can play well. They force field goals. It'll be a close game.
Yeah, and for New England, a defense that we thought had a lot of positives, now dealing with those injuries, are going to be significant. Also good to note, coming off what was the worst loss of Bill Belichick's career as a head coach in New England, Mac Jones getting the start, but Bailey Zappe got increased reps at practice. So you wonder if this is another instance where maybe the leash could be a little bit short.
If he starts turning the ball over, not going to tolerate. I'll tell you the guy they got to really take care of. Look, Olave's great. This Rashid Shaheed. Is tremendous.
Yeah.
He's really good. He's outstanding. He's dynamic in the return game and whenever he gets his hands on the ball.
Awesome stuff. We're going to keep it rolling when we return here on the Lombardi Line, breaking down every single game on the Week 5 NFL slate. Next, Jets at Broncos. The Broncos, a 2.5-point favorite. And the Texans and Falcons back to the NFC South. How will Atlanta fare in the favorites role at home? We'll be right back.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Don't forget, on DraftKings Sportsbook this season, new customers can bet $5 in pocket, $200 in bonus bets instantly. Plus, all customers can get a no-sweat same-game parlay every day. Download the app and use the promo code VSiN when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. You can do it today with a full slate of NFL games upon us. Some folks already here bright and early at the Sportsbook at Circa Resort and Casino, taking in the London game, Jacksonville leading Buffalo 11-0, live line, Jags, a 5.5-point favorite, total 42.5. But a game coming up a little bit later, the Hackett Bowl, as you are calling it, Michael Lombardi, the Jets at the Broncos coming up a little bit later. Denver, a 2.5-point favorite, total 43.5, and Nathaniel Hackett, a chance to go to his old stomping grounds where he was let go last season.
You know, when I first looked at this game, and I went to Monday morning, I went to start my notes for the week, I thought, how is the Jets not favored in this game? I mean, even Zach Wilson should be able to move the ball on this really, really bad Denver defense. And everything that has happened since that proclamation that I made has been proven wrong. Like, everybody's on Denver. Denver is the, for lack of a better term, all the money has been coming in on Denver. And look, Denver's a good offense, and they can run the football. They'll need to today. And you can run the ball on this Jets team that everybody thinks is the 2000 Ravens. Everybody talks about them on defense like they're the 2000 Ravens, the greatest defense of all time. And yet the last 3 weeks, they've given up over 150. They gave up 200 last week. They gave up 150. I mean, if Andy Reid would have stopped running, would have kept running the ball, he might have gained 400. So, you know, to me, that's going to be the key to the game. They're going to have to control their defense with their offense. And the Jets are going to be missing DJ Reed, but he's in concussion protocol. He didn't clear. So they're going to be able to move the football here. What shocked me last week, Stormy, was how good the Jets' offensive line blocked the Chiefs' front. They blocked them really well. And if they can do that, they should be able to block this team. They should be able to. And they should. Both teams should move the football on one another, assuming that they don't turn it over. So, look, the Jets have the better team. I don't care where the money's coming in. The Jets have the better team overall. The one thing you just don't trust, no one trusts our man Zach Wilson to have two straight games in a row.
Correct. So I agree with your earlier sentiment of, like, this Denver Broncos team, a 2.5, a field goal favorite over anyone, feels a little suspect. But at the same token, do we think that what we saw last week with Zach Wilson and Nathaniel Hackett kind of being able to tap in to the things that he does well and getting him in the correct mindset to have a successful game, do we think that that's something that's replicable and we're going to see 2 weeks in a row? Or do we trust the larger sample size and what we've seen week in and week out, which is Zach Wilson not being an NFL quarterback? And that's the balance I think that we have here, because I feel like everything I know about Zach Wilson tells me I do not want to bet on this kid. But last week he played pretty good, and we have that recency bias thought process that comes into mind. So this was a stay away and no bet for me. It felt too trappy.
Yeah, you know, it did for me too, Stormy. I agree with you completely. I don't trust him at all to play two in a row, especially on the road, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, when you go back and watch him last season, and you do, you know, when you looked at his year last year and you said, okay, you know, against Pittsburgh, almost the identical weekend, you know, he plays really well, has a fourth quarter comeback against Pittsburgh, you know, and you think, okay, this kid's coming around, you know, he's coming around, you know, and he led him on this comeback. And the next week against Miami, it's a complete disaster. The next week playing home against the Miami Dolphins, you know, he's a disaster. You know, he throws the ball, you know, he makes mistakes, he fumbles. And the next thing you know, they're out of the game and they lose to Skylar Thompson, right? Mm-hmm. So I don't have any faith. I don't have any faith in him to be able to do it, especially on the road in a hostile environment. Because you know the one thing, the Bronco fans are going to be there to boo Hack. They're going to be into the game regardless of the game.
Well, that's one thing I do have faith in, Michael, is that when we see the broadcast tonight, we are going to get plenty of sound bites of the worst coaching job in NFL history. We're going to get the fire and backs. Like, we're going to get the all-encompassing part of this fight, and then matched with the Broncos not having the early success that a lot of people anticipated under our guy Sean Payton. So I'm excited for the broadcast. That's one I'm definitely going to have the volume up for a while, because I'm curious to see how all that's going to play out.
Oh yeah, you're going to hear it. That's going to be the lead of the broadcast. Right. That's all we're going
to
hear about is that.
It has
to
be.
And well, we should. I mean, you know, when you do that, and then, you know, when you look at it, I mean, look, this time last year, I mean, Hackett was 2-2, you know, and you look at what they've done offensively last year. Hackett, the offense gained 905 yards after four games. Peyton's gained 951. Mm-hmm. You know, Peyton's been outscored 100 to 150. Hackett was outscored 66 to 68. So, you know, I mean, there's all sorts of ways to look. They're just not as good defensively this year as they were last year.
Which,
I mean, last year,
crazy.
EPA at this time, they were seventh in the league.
Michael, that's what, like, the Denver Broncos defense is what has made us feel for how many years now that they're a quarterback away. And now the defense is bad.
I wrote about this in my book. I wrote up this. Every time you think you're one player away, you're misevaluating your team.
Absolutely.
And teams have historically done this, right? They have historically done this, right? But let's put some blame where it belongs. I mean, look, they haven't done a great job. They lose Jones, DeMont Jones, the three technique. He goes up to Seattle. They're absolutely excited to have him. They signed Zach Allen, you know, and they haven't been able to really fill in the defense. I mean, this Benito kid they drafted in the second round has been a good player for them, right? But their corner situation, Sertan, but they don't have another corner. You know, Simmons has been hurt. Linebacking play, Josie Jewell, he may not play today. So they're kind of beat up all over the place, and they just don't have enough team speed defensively. You can attack them, and I think what happens is what Vance Joseph tries to do is he tries to solve all the problems and creates more problems by doing so.
Okay, Michael, I need you to sell me a little more on the Atlanta Falcons because I'm struggling to get there. I feel like with the Houston Texans, who are 1.5-point dog, by the way, in Atlanta today, total 41.5, I've seen some moments and glimmers of hope and what this team can be and some optimism. With the Atlanta Falcons, I really, really have a hard time wanting to place a bet on Desmond Ridder in any position, especially as a favorite. And I don't want to be too prisoner of the moment in that because of what we've seen from the Texans and CJ Stroud the last couple of weeks. But it is just hard for me to buy in on a quarterback that can't move the ball.
Well, look, I think that, you know, here's where you want me to convince you, I'll try. The Texans really haven't been able to run the ball. They're 30th in the league in yards rushing. And they're not, and they've been very good on third down, but they're not a great red zone team. So even in that game last week, as bad as Pittsburgh played, that game was for, there was opportunity for Pittsburgh to get back in the game, you know? And so when you're 31st in red zone offense, it's hard. And if you can't run the ball, and now you're on the road, Stormy, and in a crowd in a dome stadium, it's going to be a little bit more of a challenge to throw the ball. You can't go in there and throw it. And then Arthur Smith does a really good job of running the football, especially when you look at last year. He ran it for 168 yards against your 49ers. You know, he had 40 carries in the game. He's going to run the ball. He can run the ball. And this Texan defense is not great at stopping the run.
That's what I feel like this and could be the B. John Robinson show, if anything.
I think it's always going to have to be. It's going to be 20 passes from Ridder and a lot of runs and a lot of third and twos. And he's going to call runs on those downs. And so this Falcon defense isn't as bad as we think it is. Right? I mean, look, it's not as bad as we think. They'll put pressure on Stroud, even though Tunsil's back at left tackle and maybe Howard's back at right tackle. But I think, to me, they know, right, that they've got to run the ball. And on yards per attempt, this team in Houston is 20th in the league. So they're going to run it today. And Arthur Smith does a good job of scheming runs against San Francisco's style of defense. He did it last year, 40 runs for 168 yards. Wasn't pretty, but they won that game.
One interesting note here, because this Atlanta team is coming back from London, 10 times the last 3 years, teams have come back from that overseas game in London, did not have a bye. The defense has typically struggled in those games. So we've seen the opponent team total 7-3 to the over, if maybe that's a perspective you'd like to take. Also, every one of those teams, interestingly enough, trailing in the fourth quarter that following week. So that's something that we'll want to keep tabs on later today also.
I got one for you, though. Mm. I have one for you.
I love it.
18 teams have beaten the Steelers by 20 points over the last 20 years. 18 teams. Those teams are 6-11-1 against the spread the next game. And just three have closed as the underdog.
Mm.
And all of them have lost. So I don't know what that means. You know, when you rely on data for the pass, Buffalo just scored to go in a halftime with minute 14 on the clock, make it 11-6 right now. I don't know what that means, Stormy, but I just think, to me, this is Atlanta needs to win this game. I mean, this is, and the line, I think, is a little low. I think I would be on Houston if it was 3.5. At 1.5, I think there's been a kind of a momentum going towards Houston because of last week.
Nobody knows what it means, but it's provocative. Gets the people going. We'll be right back.